Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rat pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Danny Meringue.
I found two empty bottles of a particularly decent Chateau Noir Bordeaux 57 in your rubbish.
Dusty Hera.
You went through my garbage?
This is Danny and Dusty on the Odyssey app.
I find it particularly offensive that you use them to wash down an order from something called Macho Taco.
And Portland's sports leader, 1080.
I would never drink a Bordeaux with a Macho Taco.
The Fan.
It was a burrito machissimo.
Hour number three here on Danny and Dusty. Thank you for joining us. We appreciate you. We love you. Whether you listen on 1080 AM The Fan, watching along on YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan, or Twitch.tv/1080AM The Fan. We appreciate you. We love you. We've had some mild technical difficulties on the stream today. Hopefully those are getting all ironed out.
We should be good to go.
We've had some freezing.
I may or may not have had my camera taken offline because I may or may not have been hiding bodies, but hey, that's neither here nor there.
Somebody's got to watch out for you.
Right? Delete the tape. Where we didn't delete the tape was down at the University of Oregon, where Oregon Media Days were on hand, and so were you.
Yeah, man. Yesterday was a really fun day. We went down there and recorded a bunch of interviews that are going to be coming out for a new podcast that's coming to the Odyssey Sports Network. It's called The Program. It'll be myself and Cole Linehan, former Ducks defensive lineman from 04 through 08.
Where else do you know him from?
He's the head football coach at Banks High School.
Oh.
He's a hell of a good dude, too. And so we got a bunch of interviews. Dan Lanning. We got Kobe Savage, Jabbar Muhammad, Noah Whittington, Jordan James, Bryce Betcher, Marcus Harper, Josh Connerly, Jordan Birch, and really a bunch of good and fun interviews that we got down there at University of Oregon Media Day. And it's interesting, man. It was so weird walking in there and seeing like the Oregon backdrops now with Big Ten logos all over it, right? Like Lanning pops up there for the very first one. And it's like he's got the backdrop of the O with the Big Ten logo. They were installing yesterday the Big Ten logos in the turf at Autzen Stadium.
Because now it's actually official. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, Thursday, it'll be official that August turns, and then Friday the 2nd is when they're official members of the Big Ten. But it's a new era in Oregon football, which is kind of weird that we're still kind of going through this transition. But I found it a big shift from what we have seen in years past with this Oregon program. And you're not going to get it from coaches, and you really didn't get it like the players coming out and saying it directly. But when you talked about expectations of this year, when you talked about why guys chose Oregon and why they went to the University of Oregon, it was a shift from being competitive, starting something, building something, into there's championship conversations with the players and saying what their expectations and what their goals are is to win a national title. And it's not just like, I want to build something to get to that point. It is, you know, that one of the reasons why, you know, me, whether it's, you know, Kobe Savage or Jabbar Muhammad, you know, Jabbar Muhammad, he said it directly. Like, I played for a national title last year at Washington. I want to go. And I looked at the mm-hmm. landscape of college football and I knew what was here at Oregon. I want to come down and be a part of a team that can win a national title this year. And that is a dramatic shift from being competitive,
mm-hmm.
building something,
yep.
to no, that's why we come here, is that expectation.
Yeah.
And there isn't like a shying away from that being an elephant that is in the room, right? And, you know, you talk about the way that you go about it, and it's not in a way that they're, no, we should win a national title. We expect to be in the national title game. It's no. That's the collection of talent that we have here, mm-hmm. and that's where we're at. Is in it's no longer playing the aw shucks, little guy and little engine yep. that could. You go into a Big Ten in a preseason rankings, they will be in the top five, top four, where pretty much wherever
nationally,
you look.
Yes.
They're Cleveland.com had them as the number two team in the Big Ten, mm-hmm. only to Ohio State, right? That is a dramatic shift from what we have seen in the evolution of this Oregon program.
Yeah.
Is guys were always like, hey, the goal is to win a title, right? But it seems like there is this, I don't know if you want to call it a swagger about them, a confidence. It's not in a cocky way.
No. We talked about this when you're gone, and I wanted to highlight this. As I am avid duck hater, and for 20 years, I've been force-fed this. They're a national title contender, and they were always on the outside looking in. And yeah. you can say they made that run. It's like, sure, if everything breaks their way and everything goes their way, sure, okay. But they were always the next rung or the rung after that down. They yeah. were never on that tier. There is, and this is where I give Lanning and what they have done over the last couple of years so much credit. It does feel different. Yep. From an outsider's view, this feels and looks different. And the pushback I've always had is they get the crap kicked out of them in the trenches. That was where they always lost, and they just don't now.
No.
They don't.
And they built that way. Yeah.
That's the thing. And that's, I look at them now and I don't go, if this moved to the Big Ten, let's say it happened 6 years ago, I'm going, oh, they are going to get mauled.
They are going to be in trouble.
They are going to get yeah. mauled. And I don't, that thought hasn't crossed my mind
about
what they are right now.
That is the big shift, you know, when Chip Kelly went down and played in that first Rose Bowl with Oregon and Ohio State walked by him and he was like looking up at him saying, God, I wish I had guys like this. Yeah. You know, like they didn't have them.
No, and then Chip's great line of like, yeah, we want those guys too.
We want those guys. Yeah. We want some of the guys that they have there, because that is where you turn the corner and mm-hmm. where you change your program and how your program evolves to take that next step. The fact that they had so much turnover on that defensive line this mm-hmm. past year, when you think of, you know, guys like Popo and Brandon Dorlus departing, and then you bring in Derek Harmon, Michigan State transfer, and then you bring in Jamari Cardwell from University of Houston, who comes up. They've plugged in their gaps. Their edges are going to be good. They're going to be really strong on the edges when you bring back guys like Jordan Burch and Mateo Uyengale. But it was the interior of that defensive line. Do they have enough depth? Mm-hmm. And they have Ware Hudson coming back this year. You've got, you know, Jamari and Harmon coming in. They have done a really good job of filling those spots where they have the holes. But I think what is the thing is that turn and that difference in where they are from a program and the way they talk about heading into the season and that confidence that they have about what the expectations are and where the bar is that the other thing that you heard, and I heard this more than any other thing, was accountability being kind of the number one thing that when we were sitting down, we were talking to guys over and over again, there was more emphasis on the accountability that players we're putting on each other throughout this offseason. Mm-hmm. And it was really interesting to talk with Kobe Savage about this, because you look at the secondary, right? And you bring in Jabbar Muhammad, you bring in Kobe Savage, you got Tyson Johnson, you got Jaleel Florence, Dante Manning, all guys that are coming back, but you're adding new pieces in the secondary where we don't give it enough credence or credit to the continuity and chemistry you have to have as a secondary. Think about if you're playing zone coverage, you have to trust the guy next to you that you're going to hand him off and everything's going to be okay. Man-to-man coverage, safety's got to have, you know, a confidence in a corner to where's my help going to be from, and where do I need to go
where
and
do
hand
I need to
off guys?
A little bit.
You know, from the aspect of, all right, now we have in nickel, which they run a lot of, where you have five defensive backs on the field. All right, where's that trust in all those guys? Mm-hmm. And where do you kind of start handing those guys? When can I flip and trail behind a guy and know that safety's coming over the top? That was preached more than anything, the work that they were doing outside of just the workouts in the facility, you know, when you're with the strength and conditioning staff. That was also one that kind of popped out as every position group that we talked to was talking about holding the other guys in that room accountable to the standard that they need to have if they're going to take a next step forward. And the fact that they were kept saying numbers were through the roof of those guys, you know, being able to be available over the course of the season. That's going to be the biggest thing, is when we know they have talent, right?
Yeah.
How quickly can you put it all together on the field, right?
And it's got to be quick because of their schedule.
Yeah. And they have, you know, Idaho out of the gate, but it is, you go Idaho, Boise State, Oregon State, and then you're jumping right into your Big Ten schedule, right? And the first one is UCLA. Pretty familiar opponent they got in UCLA there. But you have, if you are going to be playing to that expectation, right? Quarterback, secondary, in the trenches, you have a lot of moving parts that are new, and you need continuity and chemistry almost immediately. That, to me, is the biggest question.
Yeah.
Because you look across the board and you can see they have depth at every position. They have guys who have done it in other places too, whether it's Jabbar Muhammad or Kobe Savage, right? But can they step in, Evan Stewart on the offensive side, can they step in and build that chemistry in one offseason that gets you to that point? And that is going to be the big marker for, all right, we know you're talented. Can it all come together on the field on Saturday afternoons? And that, to me, the chemistry, the off-season work, hearing about the accountability, hearing about expectations, all of those things are great. But when the rubber meets the road, does that talent all work together? And how do those pieces look working together is going to be the big one that we won't know until you tee it up on, you know what, August 31st against Idaho.
It's interesting when you talk about the opportunities for, or the challenges and opportunities for Oregon, you know, that defensive front kind of being a little uncertain. It mirrors that of Ohio State, where their offensive line is, while they have a collection of talent, there's a lot of unproven in that offensive line.
Sure.
So it's kind of interesting when you look at both those programs who are vying for that Big Ten title, that their challenges that they're both facing are kind of the inverse.
Yeah, and the defensive line, their edges are going to be, they're deep on the edges. I mean, and then you can add, you know, not just Jordan Birch and Uyunglele, but if you want to put Branch on there on the outside and Winston on the outside, they're set there.
Yeah,
there's a lot of concern of the interior linebacking core, where I sit there, and the way that I see it, when you have Jeffrey Bossa, who's Fiesta Bowl MVP, is on the Gursky watch list heading into this season. You have Bossa, Justin Jacobs, Bryce Betcher. All of those guys played really damn good football.
Yeah.
With Jacobs, it's can you stay healthy?
Yes.
I think the linebacking core is actually solid.
Yeah,
it was that interior defensive tackle position that I think people had questions about, but Harmon and then Jamari, you bring those guys in and you're going, all right, you have built depth to go along with the young talent that you're hoping will pop this year. That is, Brandon Dorlus was so damn good. I think people, he was a guy that he got a lot of attention on that defense. I don't think he got enough for how good he was, because they played him inside, outside. He was a Band-Aid for kind of everything they did up front. He was really damn good. But it was an exciting time to be around the Oregon program, and it was definitely a shift in the way that they talk about how this season is presenting itself.
You know, it's going to be a fun thing to track as we get closer and closer to the football season, which is really, what, 3 weeks away?
Yeah, man. We're a month. Well, it's a month away because tomorrow will be.
But isn't the first game the 20?
No.
Is it? Oh, is it 27th?
No, the first.
Not the Ducks. I mean, college football.
No. College
football,
yeah.
Isn't it?
We're less than a month away.
Yeah. We're 3 weeks away. Yeah, yeah. That's what I thought. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Crazy.
Yeah. And then the Ducks kick it off August 31st, 4:30, Idaho. Vandals.
Who doesn't love a good Vandal?
Yeah. A Boise State.
There you go.
You know, Boise State and Idaho, I don't think they even play each other anymore, though.
I mean, it's kind of really big brother, little brother at this point. So, all right, coming up next, the Portland Trailblazers announced a new partnership it should open a few eyes. Coming up next here on Danny and Dusty, Tenny the Fan.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
It's a good thing baseballs already have stitches. Because the way these ball players are hitting them... Yeah, they need stitches if they didn't already have them. So the next time you're watching a poor little baseball smacked off the wall in center, keep that little fella in your thoughts. It's hard to be a baseball right now. Baseball is something else. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a Gel Flex Grid. The Gel Flex Grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the Gel Flex Grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Well, we do have some breaking news, literally right now. Adrian Wojnarowski are reporting that the Portland Trailblazers have signed guard Devontae Graham to a one-year deal. I would imagine right out of the gate that this is a non-guaranteed deal because the roster is currently full.
Yeah. Kansas guy? Devontae Graham?
He made his bones. Charlotte and then... things went horribly south in New Orleans.
Well, and then San Spurs. Antonio last year. Yeah, okay. Point guard?
Scoring guard.
Interesting. That's an interesting move. They don't have any roster spots.
No, I would imagine this is a non-guaranteed
deal. Is a vet, so it's not like you're bringing him on to be a G League body. But a backup point guard in the NBA, I have zero opinion on him. It's just a weird move when you have a full roster.
It's a little surprising. Again, it says a one-year deal. I think it's probably a non-guaranteed deal.
All right. Okay. Hey, all right.
It does not say how much money guaranteed or what type of contract it is, and that it's that light on details. That's my first thought. So in the next break, I will be efforting.
Maybe it's sending an ant out of town.
Again, that would be a surprise.
Okay. Interesting, though.
Yeah. But there you go. There's that bit of news. Earlier today, a couple hours ago, the Portland Trailblazers sent out a press release. I had heard this was going to come in the next week or so, that they have partnered with the Albina Vision Trust.
Okay. The Albina Vision Trust, by the way, is the group that is being funded by Phil Knight, correct?
Yes.
So, Phil and Penny Knight's family to revitalize the Albina district. Near Moda?
Yes. If I believe it's 400, yeah, it's 450 million, just short of a half a billion dollars.
All right.
Draw the lines of what you want here. I've talked to stakeholders with the Trailblazers about this exact project over when I was down in Las Vegas, and it was one of the things that I brought up when I was told what was coming down the pipe, and I asked numerous questions about a potential sale and was told that there's nothing there, but this is just interested parties working towards something that's good for everyone.
Okay.
The thing here that's worth highlighting is the very specific language of the things they hope
Jump
to accomplish.
Town. Jump Town's coming.
Four things.
Okay.
Joint development strategy for Lower Albina, including the Rose Garden, i.e., let's make sure the invested business partners are all on the same page for how we're going to do this, which means how they're going to redesign Rose Quarter to make money for people in the neighborhood so it's not a black hole.
And, yeah, bring business to
back to the
Rose
area.
Quarter area, yes. Where the it is. You go to any city and you go to any arena now.
There's a million things to
do. And you just realize how boring the damn Rose Quarter is.
There's nothing there. There's not even a Kachina. It's not even a good place to get in a fight anymore.
It sucks down there. It really does. No, it is.
You go to the game and then you're the only activity is sitting in the parking lot while you wait to leave.
It sucks.
There's no. You don't go like, hey, let's go to a late dinner and wait out traffic.
And that is one thing that's a great point right there, because either you ride the Max in and out, or you don't even have the place to go until traffic dies down. Let's go to
grab a drink. Let's go to whatever.
Let's go. It doesn't even matter if it's like TGIF or whatever.
What's the spot at LA Live that we that we went into when we were down there?
The Yard?
The Yard. There's not even like a place like that where it's just like...
I'm going to pay way too much for this, yard of beer, but at least I have somewhere to go.
Yeah, other like-minded people are there. It's just there's nothing to do.
It sucks.
So on the business side of things, everyone's going to get involved and understand, okay, how can we revitalize this district? How can we bring people? How can we bring small businesses? How can we bring the community? How can we get out of the gentrification of what has been done to the region? All of those things are things that are that are at play. Part number two here, joint storytelling and communications. Yeah, it's again getting the culture back in it because it's a wasteland.
So not we're gonna collaborate on the lies that we tell the public about what we're doing.
This is
different kind of joint storytelling.
No, this is
of the community, the area, and what they're trying to revitalize.
Because what it was is, and people don't like talking about this, was when they built it, it moved a large portion of the black community just up and out of the area.
Forced them out
and pushed them in Northeast Portland.
Yep.
And this doesn't replace that. This doesn't make it better.
Nope.
But they're trying to do something.
Doesn't ignore it.
No. In fact, acknowledge it and address it and try to right those wrongs. And that's essentially what they're trying to do. Joint legislative strategy and advocacy to amplify the impact. And that's exactly what they're talking about, of empowering black businesses and bringing back the community.
I mean, these are all words and they sound really good. I hope that their vision does come to fruition and they actually do something.
They put a lot of money towards it.
Yeah.
And the last line here is celebration of community through events and gatherings. Yes, like making it a place that's makes sense to have functions and events. And again, not have it just be this empty wasteland. Because that's what it is. It's just, there's nothing there. There's no, there's no businesses. There's no trap. Like if you go in that region, a 6-block region, 8-block region on a non-game day, it's dead.
Yeah.
There's no reason to get on or off the Max there. There's no businesses. There's no destinations. There's nothing that on a non-concert, non-game day, it is a void.
Yeah, it's a terrible area to be in.
Yeah. I mean, so from basically the waterfront up until the Lloyd District.
Yeah.
That whole region they're dumping already $500 million. I would imagine it's going to be significantly more when it's all said and done.
Yep. And I'm excited for this. It's well overdue. I'm glad that the Blazers and the Albina Project are working together in making something, because that makes the investment that they already have into the community, it amplifies it a little bit more because the Blazers now have skin in the game for it. Yeah. And that you're going to be working together, not opposing visions and opposing goals. So I like that.
And you're taking two groups with a significant amount of capital in the Allen Trust and Phil Knight and Nike. Phil and Penny Knight and Nike and their substantial equity.
Yeah.
And you're addressing an issue in the city.
Yep.
So hopefully something good comes out of this. I am more positive in this vein than I am not. As much as I'm pessimistic on so many things, I'm mildly optimistic as to the possible outcome here.
Yeah.
Because I think both parties actually do give a damn about what this turns into.
I think they absolutely give a damn
about it. And if you want to be the most evil person, for the most selfish reasons, it matters for them to have it turn out better.
No doubt about it.
So, all right, coming up next, MLB trade deadline is up in 26 minutes. We'll hit all the major news, notes, and stories up and down Major League Baseball. But first, here's the big kahuna with the Sports Center update. 20 minutes till the Major League Baseball trade deadline goes into effect. 3 p.m. local, 6 p.m. Eastern. There have been a host of transactions up and down the board, including for teams that suck, like yours and mine.
Whoa. Teams that suck?
I mean, yeah, they do.
What do you mean? Division leading Houston Astros? Is that the team that you're talking about?
How many do you lead by right now?
Doesn't matter.
As of today?
Not
of
seven right games out of first place.
Is that what it is?
Yeah. Yeah. It's great to play in the AL West, bud.
Good God. While you're gone, we were talking about what divisions are the worst divisions in baseball right now.
Well, it's the AL West.
It's the AL West. Like, I was like, which one is it?
It's
like,
not even close.
Yeah. And it's very interesting because the Brewers have been hot lately. They rose up the old standings.
Yeah. But no, it has been a very active Major League Baseball trade deadline. And that is the most fun part. And look, the Mariners have been one of, if not the most active, if you look at
hustling and
going
bustling
out and getting Randy Arozarena, Justin Turner, you go and you get some pitching arms when you get, and was it JT Chargois?
Yeah.
They got him from the Marlins today. They get Yimi Garcia to add to a pitching staff that is really damn good, but you needed bats, and people are very upset that the Mariners, how could they be done? They already improved their lineup. Yeah, I mean, when you get Arozarena and Turner, you've improved your lineup.
And it's bare minimum, but you had probably the worst lineup in baseball outside of the White Sox exist.
Like, the White Sox are great, and Ozzie Guillen laid into them about the trade deadline yesterday. They lost their 15th in a row yesterday, and they go on their NBC Sports Chicago post-game show, and Ozzie Guillen is like, I hear these guys talking about like getting traded, and we're talking about, you know, the trade deadline coming up. Who'd want these guys? Which is the most Ozzie Guillen thing you could possibly say, but the White Sox are an absolute disaster right now. And they had one pitcher that they were able to get rid of, and guess what? He wants a contract extension. His agent was leaking that behind closed doors. Mm-hmm. They're an absolute just mess. But Mariners, they did get better. The deadline has been active. I don't think that we haven't seen, you know, the
Jorge Soler is the biggest move.
That is
move.
A big move.
The Braves reacquiring Soler is the biggest move so far at the deadline. We aren't seeing a Tarik Skubal getting moved. I mean, and I was talking to somebody who covers the
they shouldn't move him.
Tigers, and he said, look, I don't know this 100% for certain, but based on my discussions, the only way they will move him is if it's Jackson Holliday and I was like, oh, good Lord. So you want the number one prospect in baseball and then some.
Well,
I mean, he's probably going to win the Cy Young. So,
yeah. But I mean, that.
I mean, it makes sense.
And he's young, too.
And on a controlled deal. Yeah. No, I 100% get it. But it, like, when you start framing that, like, you don't have. When you see number one prospect in baseball moved, it's typically for that caliber of player. But you just don't think about it because it's the Tigers and they suck.
I mean,
they're just bad, honestly.
But they would be third in the AL West.
What's interested me here is the team that has not really made a move, and that's the Dodgers. And a month ago, 6 weeks ago, I would have told you that I could see them going, hey, Cardinals, Paul Goldschmidt, Nolan Arenado, we like more bats. We like more defense. We like more everything because we're the Dodgers. The market has changed. And outside of Soler, there really isn't a bat out there that you're like, yeah, no, that can change your lineup kind of a deal. Nobody else has really moved that you're – are you even moving into your top five in your lineup?
No. You know? Not that lineup.
No, I mean, across baseball, like in general, like outside of Soler, has anybody else moved where you're like, yeah, no, that guy's fifth or higher in your order for sure.
Yeah, and I mean, I think what the only move they haven't really made moves of consequence at all. They got Rosario back,
mm-hmm.
but then you get Tommy Edman and Michael Kopech.
Yeah, they utility guys.
Yeah, the Dodgers are going to be really damn good. Yeah. Their whole thing is health. Yes. And if their pitching staff ever gets healthy.
Which is hilarious because they traded for Tommy Edman, who's always hurt.
But, like, what are they going to do with Dustin May out? Uh-huh. You have Clayton Kershaw just coming back. Ohtani's not going to pitch for you this year. Mm-hmm. Like, their rotation has just been littered with injuries throughout, and significant injuries. Mm-hmm. If they can get back in any semblance of health anytime soon.
Joe Kelly matters for them right now.
Joe Kelly. Well, he always matters in the regular season.
Yeah.
You know, it's can he hang on in the postseason? We'll see.
We'll see.
We'll see. Great trade deadline, though. A lot of guys being moved and a lot of teams saying, we're going to push in.
A lot of bullpen help. I mean, most of what the Mariners did, with the exception of Rosarena, he's the only one, I believe, who has more than a year and a half on his contract left. I think he's at 2.5 years. I'm going off the top of my head, I believe that's the case. Most of it was rentals. Yimmy's a rental.
But that's what the deadline is. Yeah, but, is get rid of the guys that are rentals.
And for the Mariners, see if they work out. They didn't give up their whole farm. It's not like they were out there just shelling everything out.
No.
So I guess they did. Did they make monster moves? No. But were there monster moves to be made? I think I'm at the no.
And look, the one that everybody was kind of hoping for was Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Yes. And look, Vladdy and Julio in Seattle would have been electric. And maybe, who knows, come winter meetings, they revisit that.
It doesn't sound like he's going to be moved, mm-hmm. though. And the Mariners do sound like they are done.
Yeah.
At the deadline. Deadline is in 13 minutes from now.
So, all right, we'll put a nice little bow on today's show. Again, the Trailblazers making a little bit more news today. It's a little Trailblazer day. We'll touch on Devontae Graham being signed by the Portland Trailblazers here coming up next as we wrap today's show here on Danny and Dusty, Tending the Fan. About 20 minutes ago, Adrian Wojnarowski broke the news that free agent guard Devontae Graham has agreed on a one-year deal with the Portland Trailblazers.
And he's a Kansas Jayhawk.
There you go.
Rob's going to have hot Devontae Graham takes
rock
up
chalk.
Here. He is. I don't. How does this work?
The Blazers roster is full, so it's very easy to make the assumption that wink, wink, nod, nod, that 1 year deal is a camp deal.
All right. Okay. Good.
So, well,
okay. What kind of player is he? I don't even know what kind of player he is.
He's a smaller score first guard.
When you said his name, I was like,
oh, so perfect for Portland.
I was like, yeah, that's him.
They have a type.
Yeah. See, that's the ticket. All I thought was, didn't he go to Kansas? And then I had not thought of him really at all.
Yeah, he had that 1 year in Charlotte where he averaged 18-8.
And they won, what, like 20 games?
Ooh, not many. not
all
many
right.
games.
So bringing in a veteran guard sounds like a camp body because their roster is full.
Yeah.
Full.
So, all right. Everyone's like, oh, is a trade coming? I don't believe that's the case.
Assume this as a non-guaranteed contract.
Yeah, and this is a chance to get out there and get some run in and see what happens.
All right. Well, good. So it wasn't the big deal that we were waiting for.
No. Right.
So then do these camp deals, do those guys wind up getting cut down before preseason starts then?
Well, you can get into preseason even with them. You get down to like official cut down dates. Mm-hmm. And then I believe you can have 20 and then 18 and then 15 plus the two ways, I believe is the process. If
gotcha.
I'm right. I have to double check it, though, because I have not checked on that under the new CBA.
You can go galaxy brain on this and say they're setting up for a maybe a 2-for-1 deal.
Oh, there you go.
Two out, one in.
Mm.
Unlike the Jeremy Grant where it'd be one out. And
two in.
Two in. Maybe they're going to flip the script on us and they're going to make other moves. I don't know.
Or it's one in and two in.
There we go. That doesn't. Cougars. No, that doesn't. I don't know how that math. Oh. Mm. YouTube.com/1080AM The Fan. You can get that one. There you go. How is the dynasty going?
We won our first national championship.
All right.
I did take on the Ducks in the next season, and I lost.
Oh, maybe you can take it off of junior varsity mode for next year.
No, it's cranked up, baby. It's very difficult. I've not broken a controller yet, but we came real close.
I did have a conversation with Jordan James yesterday, and he said he does more of the road to glory.
Oh, yeah.
And I said, oh, so did you make yourself? He's like, well, yeah, but I play quarterback.
Well, yeah.
I said, well, are you lobbying for Stein to get to throw a ball? And he looked at me and he goes, they've seen me throw. Don't.
What was it, a level of confidence? Huh? They're not upping his rating in the game.
I would either he's really playing the long game here, and
for the trick play that's coming.
He has a cannon.
Yeah.
And he's hoping that, you know, Ohio State or Michigan are listening.
Mm.
Or he does not throw. He said, I get nervous when I have to throw. So like, probably not going to see that trick play coming from Jordan James.
I like it.
All right, that'll do it for us today. Up next, you got 4 hours of power from their mouths to your ears. The band is back together. It's primetime with Isaac and Sook. Have a great Tuesday, everybody. See you Wednesday, noon to three, right here on The Fan.
Bye. We know what you want, Daddy.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or track pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.